So check this out. I got word that Hulu threw this crazy party in Beverly Hills with literally all of the biggest reality TV stars. I'm talking about all the Bravo Labs, Candy Burris, Portia Williams, James Kennedy, Jax Taylor, even Captain Lee, and Kate Chastain. Here's the genius part. If you want to find out what happened at the party, you have to watch the commercials. Yes, I know I'll be tuning in and then signing up for a free trial to get my favorite reality TV shows at Hulu.com.
Check it out.
Josh.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The Wiggle Room
baby.
Is here.
We're back.
Josh Wiggler, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so thrilled to be here. I'm still freaking out over the ending of this most recent episode of Survives.
Oh, okay.
That was some cray cray stuff. I'm freaking out about a lot of things, obviously, right now. But
I wasn't sure where you're going with that.
No. I'm doing well. I really am. I know sometimes it could be a little touch and go with Wiggler's sanity. I'm actually doing okay.
Okay.
And I hope everybody is doing well as well. Here we are talking some nonsense on a microphone about Survivor is always a fun time.
Yeah. Okay.
Usually a fun. It's
almost
always a fun time.
Second podcast of the day we're doing. We talked about the Curb Your Enthusiasm season finale.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sad that it's over. A wholly unnecessary podcast endeavor between myself and you and Akiva, but it was a blast to get to have a front row seat into the Rob and Akiva banter for nine weeks in a row.
Got to see it up close and personal.
Yeah,
but it's very
strange looking, but I like it.
You know, crazy week of Survivor this week to talk about, Josh. An historic week? Do I put an A? Is it A or an historic?
I would say it is an historic week. In Survivor lore, the blind side of Sandra Diaz-Twine, I think we can say the first time Sandra's been blindsided.
Yeah.
So
this feels important this week because I feel like that this was like the recording of TEOS Volume 4. I feel like that we would really like want to stop down here to talk about the departure of two of the all-time greats in one episode.
Yeah, I mean, I think, sadly, like, I do think Parvati is getting, like, a little bit short-shrifted in the discourse because what happened to Sandra was so, you know, instantly iconic, to borrow a phrase from someone else.
Sometimes
in
you know.
World. Sometimes you know, and this is an instantly iconic moment, is Denise Stapley's ascension as the Queen Slayer. That was outrageously crazy, but it does bear mentioning that happens in the same episode that Parvati goes home. Parvati, you know, basically goes home in a fairly straightforward vote where she doesn't really have a lot of wiggle room to make that happen, to make any maneuvering happen. That's unfortunate, but the Sandra piece of it is just... And I love Sandra, don't get me wrong. I love Denise, obviously. I love Sandra, obviously. But I'm going to be able to tolerate people getting removed from the game this season because we have to watch, you know, favorites of ours go home. If they're going home in this kind of fashion. That was one of the most exciting things I've ever seen on Survivor.
Did you see it coming, Josh? How confident were you that it was going to be Tony versus Sandra? Did you think Sandra was in the realm of possibility?
I thought Tony was in trouble.
I did too.
And I had people texting me, like friends of mine texting me, who were like, I hope that Denise plays this idol and gets Sandra out of the game. And I was sitting at like the edge of my couch, like texting with my friends, being like, I don't know. And it doesn't really seem like that's in Denise's wheelhouse. Like, Denise is a pretty cards up player. I think that's not really, there's really no reason something like that's going to happen. And I think I was also like pretty like resigned to like losing Tony in this moment because I just had to like prepare myself for the fact that something awful was going to happen. So by the time that like she ends up, when she plays the second idol, when she plays it for Jeremy, that I felt like, okay, she probably voted out Sandra. She wanted to take out the insurance policy. And at that point, I was like, I can't believe that this is happening.
In hindsight, you know what else I feel like was a pretty big tip-off was the Sandra vote for Denise when she says that, Denise, that I'm just writing your name down. You're not going home tonight. I felt like that was really
oh, okay, I feel a little bit better about Tony, because I was very worried that Tony was going to go out. And then I thought that Tony really, in this episode, was going to undo all of the good that we've said that he did this season, where his freak out ultimately does it. Tony's, you know, can't handle it. He's right. He gets too panicky.
And I appreciate Tony, you know, self quarantine out of solidarity with the rest of the Survivor viewers. That was very kind of him, but like he really did. That was inadvisable. I think what he did,
self inflicted wound. If he
you
went
know,
out there,
yeah, I think that did not need to happen. What he was doing, and who knows if he's traded all of his goodwill. But I don't like his position on that tribe right now at all. I think Kim, Jeremy, and Denise definitely hold the cards there. And if that tribe is going back to camp, unless, you know, Tony can pull something out of his bag of tricks, which is they've allowed him to live in the game long enough to maybe produce something, especially with two idols that have just been played, that I would not put it past Tony to be able to find something. But otherwise, like, yeah, he's in huge danger, and that's a self-inflicted injury for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do think it speaks to, you know, as a lot of us are going through, like, this stressful, tense time. I do think that we are looking for, you know, looking to people to be calm, I think also helps make us feel more reassured.
You know what? I actually think looking for people to be themselves is almost what I'm looking for more. And Tony isn't calm. You know, at least Survivor Tony is not really calm. Survivor Tony, as we tend to love him, is sort of an insane person and a madman. So while it will make me happy to have as much Tony as humanly possible on television, and that happening means that he is playing more calm than erratically, it also was kind of like nostalgic and comforting in that way. Comforting to watch Tony jump into the pile of sticks to literally just build a spy bunker again in the exact same spot that he had the spy bunker before, basically, was fairly ridiculous and just felt very classic to me. The whole run up to the vote felt very, very classic. It just like felt like everybody. I mean, maybe not Jeremy and Kim as much, but Tony, it just felt like vintage Tony. Denise getting this very powerful decision that she has to make, and I think that she articulates those kinds of choices very, very well, and she's finally getting, you know, a golden feather to put in the cap. But even Sandra, even though, like, Sandra plays herself out on this one, it was such a pleasure to watch
like
her maneuver
it.
You know, she kind of keyboard catted her way out of there. I thought that it was a real pleasure, a real delight to watch her maneuver that with Denise, like the way that they transitioned from, and it was a very meta moment too, like the way that they're transitioning from like the negotiation to now Kim is walking by and Sandra immediately just starts talking about a recipe. And that's so meta in the sense of like, you always hear that like 90% of the conversations on Survivor about food, and about cooking and about recipes. And so there it was. So it was just really fun to like watch her like slip in and out of that mode, and then Kim leaves and Sandra's like immediately back into that. So it's not the most flattering exit for Sandra. You know, speaking of self-inflicted wounds, this definitely did not need to happen. But it's a really legendary way to go. And now how can you do anything but like root for Denise to take this thing all the way across the finish line?
So I want to bring it back to Denise, and we this morning on Twitter came across something that was pretty interesting, and a lot of the stuff, you know, that happens on this podcast, you know, it happens, and then I have almost no recollection of what happens, where I think a lot of times that the listeners remember things better than
I
do.
This is my experience as well, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I think when you're making the thing, you somehow know it less well than the people who are receiving the thing.
Yeah.
It's been my experience.
Yes, not to mention anything that's you're not directing that to anybody in Survivor production, right?
Nah, well, I didn't mean to, but
if the sock
fits,
yeah.
Like,
all right,
hey, the one sock.
But anyway, so there is an account on Twitter, RHAP Archives. They do a great job of they go back, and this is not me. This is not anybody on my team.
You mean you're not just going back and plumbing?
Yeah,
the
this is a fan
of your
account,
own material.
But they go back and they find a lot of clips, and then they cut them up and put them on Twitter. And so apparently, back on April 6th, 2017. I spoke with Denise Stapley right around the time that Sandra got eliminated in Survivor Game Changers, if not that exact week. And here's a little piece of that conversation with the great Denise Stapley.
Do you think that Sandra can win again under any circumstances?
I this of all seasons, I thought this could have been a season that it might have happened in. You know, I think anything is possible. Honestly, I do. Just because of luck in the game, people can forget, you know, it just, again, depends on what people are paying attention to. I do think if she came back again, she might have to tone down just a little bit. I love her for it, but maybe just a little bit of the queen stays queen kind of bravado, because you don't want to remind them that of that too much, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, in the one, you know, that may have helped her to some extent. But, you know, people thinking, well, she'll be a bigger target and I'll use her as a little bit of a shield. But I don't know. I do. Maybe I'm a eternal optimist, but, you know, I do. I think she could.
Denise, do you ever let your mind wander to what an all-winner season would look like?
I do. I dream about it sometimes. I mean, I you know, people talk about, you know, days going by when they think about the game. Even, you know, with seasons like this, especially, you start thinking about what that would be like out there.
And in that dream, do you think you would work with Sandra?
Oh, I'd work with her in a heartbeat. But you know what? I'd probably say that about anyone, especially now, especially if there are other people listening. You know, you also don't want to give away your entire strategy, but I believe you have to be really open. You know, going out into another season, you have to be able to look at, you know, why you would align with someone, what the benefit would be. You know, and Sandra is somebody that seemed to be able to adapt with kind of the craziness of this season. You know, she adapted really well. We saw in the swaps, you know, she adapted well.
There you go. All right. That's clip
Denise
of
is
Denise.
The best. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I love Denise so much. I'm so happy to have another Survivor season with Denise on it. She's just the way that she talks about the game, the way she talks about life. She brings such empathy to her discourse. And I think that her philosophy is something that is very useful right now of like approaching things with openness. Allowing yourself to be available to the opportunities. Like she's, you know, basically what she's advocating is like active listening, you know, being a participant in the moment. And I think that that's why she was able to dunk this so hard. You know, she got a lot of height, on this one. Like, I think like that's why it's like she picked up what Sandra was putting down. She picked up that Sandra's perception of her was such that this would be a pretty safe move, that Sandra was seeing this as like a real like sinister Sandra type of move that Denise would be an accomplice on, not realizing that Denise would have it in her to throw this right back at Sandra, because that's not part of Denise's playbook. But part of Denise's playbook, and I think like the guiding principle of Denise's playbook, is to play the moment. And she just played the moment perfectly. Like, I'm less mad about Sandra, because I think that Sandra's read on Denise is not inaccurate based on anything that you could ever glean about Denise if you were studying the tape. That I think that, like, maybe she would be somebody who would be open to something like this. I think that that's not necessarily so bad on Sandra. It's not great that, you know, Sandra gave her the gun to, like, you know, knock her out of the game. But I think, like, I don't blame her for that move as much as I just think what Denise did was, like, fabulously on point. To the point of playing the idol for Jeremy as well. I have zero issues with it. It's the only way for her, as they say in Aliens, nuke the site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure. Play both idols. It's the only way to be sure that these votes are going to go back on Sandra and you're going to get to blast Sandra out with her own idol. The whole thing was just marvelous. It was tremendous television, and it was one of the most exciting moments in recent Survivor history for me.
You know, so here's something that I'm curious about. So where does Denise go from here? Where it seems like that Denise's biggest strength in this game was the ability that everybody was sleeping on Denise. Denise was, in essence, cloaked. She was a lion masquerading as a hyena in the game. We saw in Survivor Game Changers that Sarah was able to really, you know, move through the game effectively and play a game that nobody was expecting. But a lot of the moves that she made were sort of like she would flip, but it wasn't like seen as a Sarah-only move. And then at the end of the game, a lot of people were like, boy, Sarah really ended up turning her back on us for Denise now, this is a move that is like a 100% Denise. Nobody else knew anything about it. Can Denise still play as Denise here in this game, or has her spot been blown up so much?
Does she have to rename herself if she can't play as Denise? Like, does she need a new name, like Bertha? Like, what should we rename Denise? Yeah, denies. Denies doesn't... denies is great. There's some history to that. I think the good news for Denise is there are still so many dangerous people in the game that everybody's dangerous for a different reason. Like, are you going to go after Denise before you go after Tony? Are you going to go after Denise before you go after Officer Sarah? You know, are you gonna go after Denise before you go after Kim? Are you going to go after Denise before you go after a lot of people? Like, I think that this is, and I think Denise would say the same thing. I think that she basically did say the same thing. She talked about it on Twitter in a great video that she posted, and like, I think must have been pretty overwhelmed by the reaction, talking about how like it was really fun to like finally get to like make a move like that. Mm-hmm. She's the only one on her resume. You know, Denise won Survivor because she survived. Yeah. Every tribal council
take out Malcolm at the final four.
And that was it. Yeah. But and that was another thing that was like a no-brainer decision. You have to make that move. You just have to get rid of Malcolm there. And she did it. And she knew that she had to. But like, even then, like, I think like a lot of that is because that's, again, self-inflicted injury for Malcolm, right? Like, Malcolm like is wishy-washy on taking her to the final three. And so Denise reads that as an opportunity to like, all right, well, then if he's going to do that to me, I'll do that to him. And if he had played that better, she may have actually not voted him out there. Mm-hmm. This is Denise's signature fatality, right? Like, this is like her, I know it's not really fatality. It's not really a Scorpion, shooting the thing out of his hand and saying, get over here. It isn't a fatality. That's just a move. But it's the iconic one. This is like
friendship.
Her fatality move.
Yeah.
You know, this is in her mortal wombat arsenal. This is her fatality move. And it's freaking fantastic, but I don't think that it's going to be enough to now make Denise target number one on the board. You know, she's played two idols. They're gone. Ben is still out there. Ben is like the idol magnet. That's his reputation. I think that there's enough dangerous people out here that Denise doesn't just like instantly rise to the top of the list. She's in, you know, she's more exposed now than she was. But I still think that there's enough people out there that I am not massively concerned for Denise in the same way that I would be concerned for some of the other people in the game.
Josh, did you also birth Brant Steele Mortal Kombat into existence in these last couple of moments?
Maybe. I will say that I have very genuinely been, the words Mortal Wombat have been in my head for probably like 3 or 4 weeks actively,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what to do with it yet. But I do think Mortal Wombat's going to be a thing. I just don't know where or how or what.
Okay.
But it feels like it probably should exist.
Okay. All right. Josh, the fire tokens were everywhere
this week. Yeah, I know. The fire tokens are great. Sorry.
Fire tokens are great.
The fire tokens are great. I mean, that was great drama, right? Like, it was really fun. It was really, really fun. I mean, find a way to do them without EOE, and I'm really happy with the fire tokens. But I think, everything that happened with the bartering over the fire tokens was dazzling. It was dazzling. And now, we basically get them.
You were dazzled?
I was dazzled. I was bedazzled by the fire tokens. I was.
Wow.
I thought they were great. I thought they were really great this week. I thought that the bartering for them, not just with, like, the Sandra and Denise thing, but, the Wendell and Parvati stuff and how tense that got. I think it adds another, like, conversational negotiating point to the room that I'm not mad at, and I am now actually approaching like being pretty interested in, and I would be really open to Survivor wanting to continue exploring what does the fire token mean, and I do see I think we're all seeing the potential in it. I would be very dishonest if I said I didn't think it was really electric this week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really compelled by them. I'm compelled to see where they go.
Well, I think one thing that would help it would be for it to, have some sort of a schedule posted of like, what are the fire tokens four, where I feel like, you know, we saw bargaining going on for the fire tokens, and very few people even have an understanding of what can you do with fire tokens. They're
what
like,
would
well,
you do
this,
for a fire token?
Yeah, these things seem important, but what can I do with them?
But that's not, I mean, that's not going to be an issue moving forward. It'll be a recurring thing this season. And I think like that's why you're hearing from Wendell, like why he sounds like he's so intent on snatching up Parvati's tokens if he can, and why he's got so much bravado at that tribal council, is because he says, like, we assume that this is going to be how we get idols later in the game. And, like, he's, like, kind of right, but probably not in the way that he's thinking necessarily. That level of uncertainty may still surround the tokens because there will probably be some other twist that's existing in an iteration of Survivor that the tokens will have to interact with. So I do think that there will probably be some measure of guesswork that's involved with how to appropriately use the tokens moving forward. But like what you can do with them, if what's happening here this season is basically broadly applied in future seasons, then now future players will have a pretty solid baseline of what these things are. So I think it's going to eventually, is there going to come a point this season, especially when somebody comes back from EOE, like let's say it's Natalie, because Natalie has, you know, all of these tokens, and you got to imagine she's a front runner to come back here in the next couple of, you know, episodes whenever they do this. Which, is it going to be this week? Does it not look like it's going to be this week?
No, I think it's going to be the next week.
That's crazy. Hurry up with this already. Jeez. Then I think that, like, you know, she'll come back. Like, it's possible that, like, you know, if Jeremy is still in the game, like, does she confide in Jeremy how this works through that? Does Jeremy confide in someone he trusts, like Denise or someone, how it works? So, like, I think maybe, like, rumors will start to proliferate the beach here, even on this season, of how the tokens accurately work. But certainly in future seasons, I think you're going to walk into the game with people having, like, really game theoried out some ideas for the tokens. Yeah.
Okay.
But a schedule for the tokens, sure.
Schedule for the tokens. Do you think we'll get a new advantage menu when we get to the merge?
Yeah. Probably, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because I mean, like, you're no longer like competing for tribal stuff, so that's got to shake up to a certain degree.
Yeah,
I would think so. Yeah, I would think, like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, a lot of, like, the EOE offerings then just, like, find their way to the merge beach.
Okay, do you think we will have an immunity idol for sale for fire tokens?
Yeah, probably, right? And then, like, there's just going to be, like, 800 immunity idols. I don't think it's possible to get
that
many.
There should be, like, one. You know, I've talked about the idea
of the
Survivor vending machine you get there, and there's a couple things in there. And then when it's gone, it's gone.
You know what it should be? It should be the claw. Like, the claw machine at the arcade, the one that nobody really knows how to wield. The claw. Yeah, you know that one where, like, you go down, you're like, oh, I think I got the bear. I don't have the bear.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to use your tokens to operate the claw. So it's a risk. Do you mm-hmm. use the token, and do you trust in your ability to snatch something up with the claw? Or do you hold on to the token because maybe you can negotiate with somebody who's really good at the claw, and you give them the token? And I don't know. This is just a free thought right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
So I do think what would be interesting is if there is some sort of a hidden immunity idol where that, you know, if like it was like, you know, four or five fire tokens, where could people in the minority pool their fire tokens together? I do think there's some interesting scenarios that could play out with that. But we'll have to see what ends up happening once we get closer to the merge. Josh, anything else from this week's Survivor that you want to key on here?
Peanut butter, bro.
Yeah. You want to talk about it?
No, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Tyson's incredible. Mm-hmm. Tyson with the PB content right now, living for it.
Living for it. Okay.
This is the right stuff.
Yes.
He said he got chunky, Rob. How do you feel about
that?
Oh,
he got chunky?
He said
it looked creamy.
He had a little bit of an Instagram AMA about the PB, and he disclosed that the PB was chunky, that he got to look at whether he wanted the smooth jar or the chunky jar. He chose the chunky jar. I don't know.
Oh,
if
really?
There was
he got to choose between the two jars?
I believe that's what he said. I think that he had eyes on two jars of peanut butter, and he selected the chunky.
Wow, that's very considerate of Survivor.
Well, they love Tyson, yeah. So you know they're gonna roll out the peanut butter carpet.
Well,
for the
man. You know, I am normally a creamy guy.
That being said,
I feel like with the lack of sustenance, I feel like that the crunchy might be like a little bit more of a meal.
Yeah, and Tyson said now we're pitching this to something we talked about offline, but something that I mentioned on Instagram myself recently is it's all about that textural contrast. That Tyson likes the crunch because it shakes things up because everything else is so smooth out there.
Yeah.
So you get some crispity, crunchy peanut butter delights.
Yeah. Did you recently have an AMA? Or do you frequently have an AMA?
I occasionally have an AMA on my Instagram. I'm really enjoying Instagram these days. Mm-hmm. I would say you should follow me on Instagram. I'm gonna promote myself.
I mean, I already do.
I know. I'm talking to the royal you out there. If you aren't following me at Round Howard, you're missing watching me eat entire kiwis whole.
Yeah, you eat a kiwi with the skin on it.
I eat a kiwi with the skin on it.
Yeah.
It's easier. Yeah, you just like eat it. And that's where the nutrients are.
There's a lot of hair on it.
You can wash that off and wipe a lot of that off, and it's really not as unappetizing as it looks.
Josh is making a run for the freakiest freak.
Yeah, it's more like a fearsome visual. But it's actually really not so bad. And there's so much, like, you take a big bite and you're just straight out at the kiwi, so you get past the skin situation pretty fast.
Yeah.
Lots of
one
great
sock on, eating kiwis.
Yeah,
with the skin on.
I revealed that I like to wander my apartment with one sock on, one sock off. That's that textural contrast.
Let's do
again.
Laundry half as much.
Yeah, exactly. So,
okay.
These are the things you're missing if you're not following me on Instagram, where I'm becoming more and more prolific in our increasingly quarantined state. So at Round Howard on Instagram. If I get to 10,000 followers, I'll do something crazy.
Like what?
I don't know. We'll set the stakes.
Okay.
I'll buy you an Applebee's gift card.
Okay. There you go. Do they deliver?
Random draw.
Yeah.
Random draw.
All right.
Send you a Wombat's hat and an Applebee's gift card. I don't know how I'll do it, but we'll figure it out.
All right. Before we're going to head into this week's Wand Off, let me just tell you about something cool that we are working on getting the word out about with our friends over at FanDuel. Josh, I know you're not a big daily fantasy guy, but you may or may not know, not a lot of sports happening right now.
I've heard. Now, I'm a Final Fantasy guy, and
yes.
Final Fantasy VII, the remake, is coming out very soon, and I'm very excited about that. But how is the world of online fantasy persisting in a world without sports currently?
Well, since there is no sporting events for people to be playing fantasy sports with, people over at FanDuel have made a new Survivor game where you pick a number of different things, a bunch of different categories, not just who goes home, but different things that are going to happen in each episode. You could play for free and win your share of a weekly cash prize during this Survivor season, and you can play for free over on FanDuel with our code FanDuel.com/RHAP. So head on over to FanDuel.com/RHAP to get in on the action for week 7.
That's awesome.
It's a fun thing to be involved with. Doesn't cost anything. You can win some money to play along and get some fire tokens of your own at FanDuel.com/RHAP. And with that, you ready to wand off? Yes, the wand off is here, Josh.
Oh, it'll be here forever.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Oh, my God. I'm
Take
very excited.
Take one sock off in solidarity with Josh Wiggler right now for the wand off.
One wand off, one wand on. All right. Let's sock it to me, Robbio.
Sock it to you. All right.
Let's hear it. Let's hear what we got going on. A lot of business to take care of here.
All right. Rock out with your sock out for Josh Wiggler. Okay.
So, only if you want to. I don't want to force anyone in it.
There you go. Anyway.
It's got to be consensual.
So here's what's going on. Week six of the Wandoff. We've got some stuff to talk about here. In week five, I was told by the tabulator actually last week that we talked about how 2 weeks ago one vote separated first and second place.
Right.
2 weeks ago between Lee H and the Nick That Sucks, only two votes separated first and second place. So these Wandoffs have been
tight.
Not as tight in week number five. In third place, it was Corey B and Alex G with Not Fair X Pair, 12.94%.
That was very good. That was really, really beautiful.
Okay.
A glorious duet.
In second place, with 29.94% of the vote, almost 30% of the vote, it was Jack P from Chicago.
Yep.
And the winner this week, a little bit of a runaway.
Yeah,
with
they got that what's his name? Whose endorsement did they get?
Oh, Tucker Ferguson.
Tucker Ferguson, that's right.
Yes.
They got the Tucker Ferguson
said one of the best. Tucker Ferguson called this week's winner one of the best Wandoffs of all time.
You know, listen, I can't put my finger on the scale, but we're about to crown it, right? So it was unbelievable.
All right, with 45.84% of the vote, it was the guy who celebrated a birthday this week, Michael J. Clark, and Laura E.D. with Used to Kick It.
I never thought there'd come the day
so good.
That they would ask her back to play. But now, just to avoid cliche, I guess I just have to say that her and I used to kick it.
It's crazy.
Michelle and I have been known to text at times.
There you go.
It's just great.
Congratulations.
It's just great wordplay. A very funny song choice. Really seizing, I think, on the Survivor zeitgeist of that week. That's lightning in a bottle type of stuff. That's an all-time Wandoff. Really,
okay.
Really great job to MJC and Laura.
Great stuff, of course.
Yep.
Let's bring in the host of the Wandoff to talk about what the Wandoffers brought in this week. Here is the great host of the Wandoff, the late, great Casey Kasem. Casey, how are you?
Rob, I have been socially distancing, and I'm doing great.
Yeah. What day of quarantine is this for you, Casey?
Somewhere in the neighborhood of 1720.
Yeah, it's been a bit.
It's been a few minutes.
It's been a few minutes. And let's spend a few minutes with the music. Should we do that?
Over 50 Wandoffs sent in from people who are locked away with nowhere to go.
Yeah, you better be sending those Wandoffers.
Captive audience of Wandoffers.
Yeah.
Josh, let's get into this week's honorable mentions.
All right, I'm ready.
Let's start things off with a snack from one of our favorite snacks over on the Edge of Extinction. Here comes a song from Coop from Indy, talking about what Tyson is up to on the Edge of Extinction.
Peanut, peanut butter in my belly. Peanut, peanut butter in my belly. First you take the glue and you search. Then you take the addle nullifier and you sell it. Then you take the token and you buy it.
peanut butter in my belly time. 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 Wombats, wombats, yes. Wombats, wombats. Quid pro quo, quid pro quo, quid pro quo, quid pro quo. Sophie got that jelly. Sophie got that jelly. Sophie got that jelly. Sophie got that jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly and immunity idol. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly and immunity idol.
I would have been pretty disappointed if we got out of this week without both of those songs. So to combine them
multiple
useful.
Times, check yeah. the SoundCloud. Yeah, lots of repeats this week on the SoundCloud.
I believe it. I do think that maybe the Survivor gods robbed us of a cross cut between Tyson pigging out on peanut butter and the Yara tribe doing the same with their sandwiches. I would have liked that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a secret scene. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Josh?
Yeah.
We also saw, as you mentioned, Tony going back to his old habits.
Mm-hmm.
Here is Wandoff winner from earlier this season, Lee H, to talk about what's going on with Tony.
Return of the Shack, my Shack. Return of the Shack, Sandra. Return of the Shack, my God. Yes. Paranoid is bad. Return of the Shack, once again. Return of the Shack, hide in the dirt. Return of the Shack, watch his tribe. His paranoid is bad. Here he goes.
Oh, yeah.
That was an old school jam from Mark the Chicken Morrison.
Yeah. Damn. Love Return of the Mac. Classic. A classic song for a classic move. Very good.
While Tony was hiding away in his spy shack this week, the other members of the Dakal tribe learned a valuable lesson. Here's Nikki from Vancouver.
Frick Devins.
That was a jam from the group Jimmy TLC.
What a great mental picture. Jimmy T-Boz. Oh my God. Weird. Weird. It's very strange in my brain. It's such a weird mental image. I mean, do you see that?
It's you can't unsee it.
You can't. Oh my God. What an odd thing.
Speaking of things that you can't see, Tony was hiding away in his spy shack while everybody was wondering where he was. Here's an honorable mention from Jason Lee.
Oh, man. Now I just want to watch Full House. It's a classic Miller Burnett production. Oh, he's laughing. He's got a good one.
I was just thinking about the Full House cast on self-quarantine. I bet it's
well,
social isolation.
Sadly, yeah, not everyone can be there.
Aunt Becky's out of the news. So that's the good news for Aunt Becky.
I mean, there's not a lot of good news for Aunt Becky, to be honest. It's going to be hard to have a worse day.
Josh, a bunch of our wand offers wanted to talk about the legendary tribal council that saw Sandra go out of the game. Here's one from Noah from Cincinnati.
It's day 16, you won't make it to 17. Sandra, it's time to go. Better be just like on GC, you did make it to 17. Sadly, this is your time. But this new island with tokens and maps will offer you food and wine.
Oh my god.
It's nice.
Is that Rolf Kaiser? It's a really good joke if you know The Sound of Music. It's one of the best. Liesl Linares with the duet.
Ralph Kaiser was talking about toilet paper.
Really good. Yeah. Oh, my Emily Fox listening through the door gives me huge LOLs for the Rolf Kaiser joke.
Oh.
All right.
Wow.
We love The Sound of Music here in this house. In this house, we stan Georg von Trapp and Maria von Trapp.
Yeah. A lot of times at your house, The Sound of Music ends up with a babe text.
It usually does. Emily says he's a Salzburg snack. I agree. We love Georg von Trapp. I'd invite Emily in to testify herself, but she would knock over Austin Powers, who is currently protecting the door. Yeah,
her prized possession.
I know. So we can't do that. I was in The Sound of Music. I was in sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I played the butler. Franz the butler.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Franz ends up on the side of the anaconda snakes. I didn't like that.
Oh, okay. Not good. Yeah.
Not great.
All right. Next up, Josh, we're going to finish out an arc started a couple of weeks ago
on
the podcast. Here's Son of a Bits talking about how Sandra should have been warned.
I know that your powers of persuasion are as smooth as a war dog's bald hair. But slick as you are, pay attention. Your games are all basically dead. It's clear from their blatant side scheme. Your spy shack just won't be enough. But we're talking queens and still reigning. Sandra's torch isn't safe from the snuff. So prepare for a game of a lifetime. Be prepared for sensational moves. Survivor's new era is flexing its power. And who do we feature? She just was a teacher. I know it feels sordid when legends get thwarted. But Sandra brought on her own doom. Cause Denise has two idols, beware. Be prepared.
Wow.
That was from the legendary Disney villain, Kelly Skarnecki. You love Kelly Skarnecki.
You know, it takes me a second to conjure her up in my mind. She's the one from Gabon? Or is she
the one? Yes.
Yeah, okay. Got her. That was it. There's no other scar. Can someone get a scar? There's some scars that have been
the scar curse.
Mm-hmm. The scar curse would have been good.
Yeah,
that would have been good. You think that's going to be it for the Disney villains wand offs, or do you think we're going to get some Gaston next week?
Yeah,
I wonder if we're willing some Gaston into the wand off.
If you put it out in the universe,
I don't know. I mean, like,
you can manifest it.
I'm just testing my manifestation skills, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I can manifest a Gaston wand off for next week, then who knows what else we're capable of putting out in the universe. I think this is proof that, like, we can, Rob, you and me, and Casey, too, of course, is invited, and Wanda, and all of the listeners, we can make the universe listen to us.
Yeah.
So
if you can manifest things, I think that most people are probably hoping for you to manifest something else besides a Gaston wand off.
Well, if you've got ideas, hit me up. Slide into my Instagram DMs at Round Howard as we're building out that new base on.
You wasted your manifestation on a Gaston wand off.
You're all looking at TikTok, and I'm going to be here, the king of Instagram, still standing.
Yeah,
at Round Howard, come find me. We'll talk. I'll tell you how to eat a kiwi, or how I eat a kiwi. I don't know if you want to eat it the same way.
Josh, our final honorable mention for this week comes to us from a wand offer named Davis
comma, will, to talk about the new queen who's taking over Survivor.
Ginger sat on the sit-up bench, but to call still, what's the challenge? Tony's hiding in a bunker, which might be a social blunder. Denise isn't really hated, but she's underestimated. Sandra doesn't want to get played, so she comes to her for a trade. Sandra, are you okay? Kim, are you okay? Are you okay, Jeremy? Tony, are you okay? Tony, are you okay? Where the hell is Tony? And I would give anything for those cookies and cream cupcakes.
Oh, hey, Kim. I didn't see you there. I'm just recording this wand off about cupcakes.
Wow.
No, I haven't seen Tony either. I bet he's off in the jungle social distancing himself. Yeah, I'll be there in a second. Okay, I think she's gone now. Sandra, are you okay? Are you okay, Sandra? Sandra, are you okay? I know you tried to make a big play, but she's a bit for a reason. Because you all won different seasons, Sandra. Why would you sell that as an idol? Which is your advice? Sandra, are you okay? Sandra, you're not okay, because she's okay, Sandra. You got played by, you've been slayed by, the sex therapist.
Facts are facts.
That was a smooth, not a chunky criminal by Michael Yerker Jackson.
Okay. very clever to riff on what the show did with, or really what the moment was, like talking strategy, then talking recipes, and talking strategy again. There's a cupcake sandwich here on the Wand Off.
Josh, we're ready for the top.
You ever do a cupcake sandwich?
Never.
You're missing out.
Can you describe to me your cupcake sandwich?
I want to see if anyone can figure it out first. If you can figure out what a cupcake sandwich is.
You take one cupcake, slice it in half, and then like deli meat, and then cupcake is bread?
I mean, if that's what you want to do, it's not how I would make a cupcake sandwich, but I mean, I guess that would literally
Parts of three cupcakes all together, like a hamburger?
We don't need to get into it. I think life is good to have some mystery still in it, so we'll just let the cupcake sandwich rest.
Mm-hmm.
Also want to issue a formal apology.
Is it
to
a cupcake
top five.
Between two slices of bread?
I don't want to say. I think you got to search your soul to... All right, somebody got it. Yeah, you just, like, cut off the bottom of the cupcake, and then you put it on the top of the cupcake, and so now, like, you've got the frosting parts in between. Like, the bottom of the cupcake is now on top of the...
What's the point?
It's just a new way of doing things. You know, shake it up.
Are you so bored of your cupcake different. Eating that you gotta, like, find ways to mix it up?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It's like the relationship with cupcakes has gone on so long that you're just trying anything?
Yeah, you gotta, like, you try a new cupcake position.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Apologies to top five human Randy Neupel for the onslaught of Gaston's you're going to get next week. I know that's going to be hard on you, Randy.
Of course, we're here in the top five where people can vote all week long at robhasawebsite.com/vote Wanda. The tabulator is standing by to count your votes. And of course, everything that got submitted this week is up on our Wand Off SoundCloud playlist available to the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast and, of course, is curated by top five human Randy Neupel.
So sorry, Randy. Yeah. I love you, man. I didn't mean to do what I did to you.
Josh, you got the cupcake conversation started. So it's... all the more appropriate that we get some more cupcake talk. Here is Wombat's hat recipients, Aaron Robertson and Jordan Kalish.
Really? Okay.
With a song about cupcakes.
Back to the five. All right. At least someone's talking
the
baseball.
The Yara tribe had won it. Sophie Clark had done it. Adam and Ben were spared another week. Tribal 4, the Cele team, took out a threat in Parvati. Dekal had to go up, but the Red Tribe had to do something first. They're talking cupcakes. chocolate and vanilla talking cupcakes. Kim Spradlin's round the corner. The llama is in self-quarantine. But Stapley's about to idle out the queen. And Jeremy is kicking like a duck. Quack, quack. Well, Tyson was finding the nullifier they were hiding. Stuffed it right inside his man panties. Amber Ann, Boston Rob, the winner of Guatemala. The rest of the edges are lacking in calories. We're talking peanuts in the form of butter. Talking peanuts. That Tyson's such a nutter. Natalie and the great Ethan's on. Maybe these fire tokens are a con. Might as well be sneaky and hilarious.
That was from the great Terry Dietz Cashman.
That was so wholesome. That was such a wholesome wand off. Very nourishing. Really, really wonderful.
More nourishing than a cupcake sandwich?
No, that's about as nourishing as it gets. Mm-hmm. Did you get the Jordan's other wand off for the week? The one about nachos that I sent your way?
Oh.
Did you get that? I wonder if we could play that. Just a bonus wand off from the...
Quarantine is boring, so now I am making nachos. Making nachos.
Yeah, and then it's just a video of Jordan wandering through his apartment, going towards his toaster oven, where he is indeed making nachos.
Yeah.
So, he's a very talented guy, Jordan Kalish. Anyway, just thought everyone else needed to hear that. I didn't want to be the only person who got that.
Josh, here is the number two song in Wombats Nation. Here is Nicole from California with a song about the snacks on the edge of extinction.
Tyson put the little package in his man panties. He didn't really have to tinkle. And the transaction was made. And he ain't no fool. He made that clear. He has no interest in idols or beer. So he sneaks off to the car to fatten up his bones and opens his bag up and oh, take it out, scoop it up. It's peanut butter. Ladies and gentlemen, out on the edge, why are you hoarding your fire tokens? Tyson's primary concern's nutrients, so he bought peanut butter. And oh, take it out, scoop it up. It's Tyson. Peanut butter.
That was a beautiful song from Taylor Stocker Swift.
Oh, good. I just got the worst text one can ever get.
Who is it from?
It's from Dr. Mike.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
He says, can I borrow you for 5 minutes? Oh, God.
Oh, no. I've gotten much worse texts from
Mike.
Him. Yeah,
I know, but I don't know what he wants with 5 minutes of my time right now. If he's going to make me do push-ups, I'm out.
Why would he make you do push-ups?
He's like making people do push-ups on Instagram right now.
Why?
Or people are. I don't know. There's like this thing because like everyone's doing...
this happened on the circle, but nobody's really doing it. They're tricking you.
Really?
I think so.
They're not actually doing push-ups?
I think Joey's not really doing it. I think he's just like Shuby might be doing it.
Uh-huh. I believe Shuby would. Shuby's got some push-up challenges in him.
Yeah, that's definitely anyway, that worst was, text was, to get from Dr. Mike.
I'm sure, but yeah. Like, it's just ominous. And yeah. I love Dr. Mike. I'll call him after this.
Okay.
Although right. I have a surprise party to go to after we finish recording the wand off. It's through Zoom. Relax. It's a digital surprise party. Not going anywhere. I'm staying put. Surprise karaoke party on Zoom.
Okay.
Yeah.
What a night.
I know. So I told Dr. Mike I'm in the middle of the wand off. He says, well, then give me a shout out.
There you go.
Yeah, we know. We did. We already did, buddy. I love Dr. Mike. He's one of my favorite humans ever.
Josh, here comes the number three song in Wombat's Nation from the amazing Maisie talking about the edge of extinction and the rewards you can buy for one fire token.
I prefer crunchy peanut butter.
On the edge, the days are long. And then the clue came on a log. Turning rocks when they go walking. Tyson wants to do some shopping. He turns away so they're not stalking. He pretends to zip his fly. Fire token in low tide. The only one that got to eat was Tyson the Peanut Man. The
yes.
only boy with some energy. Was Tyson the Peanut Man? Yes, he was. He was.
Something just to be funny.
Plain rice isn't always tasty. You need protein to get by. He started to get real hungry. Now he knows everything is alright. Go ahead and take another big bite. Take another shell full tonight. The only boy that could be that sneaky was Tyson the Peanut Man. He ate it all for hilarity. He's Tyson the Peanut Man. Yes, he was.
Oh, that was a classic hit from Dusty Spring Cerie Field.
Oh, yeah. I suppose it was.
Yeah. If Tyson is the peanut man,
does
that mean baby nut could be soon? If Tyson comes back in the game, would he come back as baby
nut? He comes back as an infant. Yeah. Yeah. He comes back as a baby. Which I think he'd be happy about. He's a baby.
What's been going on with Baby Nut? I feel like that we've not gotten a lot of updates recently.
I think Baby Nut arrived at a time where I don't know that there was a time that Baby Nut would have arrived without some controversy. I think, like, you know, as things do in our time, the culture moved on really quick.
Is Baby Nut like Rosemary's Baby? did Baby Nut usher in a dark time?
Yeah. This might be, yeah.
We have to kill Baby Nut.
Yeah, Baby Nut is like the Damien of food mascots. Like the Omen.
All I know, Baby Nut came into the world, yada, 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 supermarkets are empty. Okay? Yeah. I'm blaming you, Baby Nut.
Yeah, it's why we can't get toilet paper. It's Baby Nut. It's not your fault, you little idiot. Go back to where you came from. Bring back
Resurrect
your father.
Mr. Peanut.
Bring your dad back. We like your dad. Oh, my God. I didn't even really like your dad.
Sacrifice Baby Nut.
My God. Yeah, we chose the form of our destructor. We should have stuck with the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Stupid. Very dumb.
Josh, the number four song in Wombat's Nation comes to us from Kiri and Alex talking about the two-time winner of Survivor, Sandra Diaz-Twine.
Wow. It's a double meatloaf.
I always say anyone but me. I didn't do that. No, I didn't. Simple.
so funny. That's great.
That was from the great Meatloaf, which is what took Joe Del Campo out of the game.
The problem was he couldn't produce Meatloaf. Yeah.
We're getting that.
That was the bigger issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. So I guess that's actually triple Meatloaf because the Wandoff theme song is Meatloaf mm-hmm. as well, technically. So three Meatloafs in on a Wandoff.
There's more on the more SoundCloud meatloaf? Where that
oh,
came
wow.
from.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
It was a week of a lot of a lot of people were thinking along the same lines.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Wild, yeah, that she's not only, she's the two-time winner, so double 39s and double 16s is pretty crazy. That's a wild stat for Sandra. That's great.
Josh, we have one last song for this week's top five, and here is Alex G with a song all about the queen who slays a queen.
Alex G
with her own idol
S4T
with her own idol
cause a scene
with her own idol
queen Denise
queen slays queen cause a scene on my screen queen slays queen makes me scream in quarantine queen slays queen queen Denise queen Denise queen slays queen makes me scream in quarantine.
Jeff, can you give me one more minute?
I have you.
It all started out on day 16. Things were blowing up at the Tribe Called Decal. It was looking bleak for old Denise. Wait now, where could Tony be? Trying to make her case vote for Jeremy. She put down Tony, might build spy bunkers. It seems like the queen is going to stay queen. And where the frick is Tony B? Then her highness comes and starts talking about she wants to give me expiring idols. This is not the way you played. I thought that you were anybody but me. Give me two your tokens and you're safe. This is now a choice clearer than race. Got her on lockdown for the checkmate. All hail to the queen Denise.
Denise does not count. Denise does not count. Eighth person voted out as survivor, winners of the war. Sandra.
Come to the dark side.
Making the queen turn green, making a scene as she walks out her screen, cause she will not achieve the three times, instead she will bequeath. It hurts me to see all of these queens going out pre-jury. I need a time machine, go back and see the best of Parvati. 20th deep, we see survivors wild out here 2020. Giving them all six titles, and now everybody's on jury. Going to ELE, they're gonna see some real mean extreme keys. And meanwhile, Denise is now the queen of all season 40.
Queen, slaves, queen, queen, Denise, queen, Denise. Tyson got man panties, man panties. For Parvati. Parvati inside his man panties. Feel the breeze.
Wow.
That was
awesome. That was dope.
Composed by the great Bobby John Williams, also known as the Imperial March or the theme used by Darth Vaderwin.
Boo.
Yeah. I think Vaderwin was known for dumping all the rice into one of your socks.
Yeah.
He liked the texture also.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's a textural contrast. It's also a temperature contrast that I enjoy about the one sock. And you put the rice in the
is
one
it always
sock,
the same foot?
Get a little warm. No, no. The foot tells me which one wants to be open and which one wants to be socked.
Okay. This is also, we're making history today, Josh. Never before happened. I talked about the day I was podcasting with Ali Lasher and like a swarm of a million bees was right outside this window. I never had this before. There is a man on the roof. This is like a Twilight Zone episode. There's a man on the roof of the house next door to me.
I don't believe you.
I've never seen this before.
He's on the wing. What's he doing?
Is he trying to get in here? What is he doing? What
is he
doing?
Is he really is he trying to get in?
No, not well. It's going to take some considerable ninja skills to.
Is he on your roof?
No, there's a house next door to me. And
okay,
I'm a little bit higher
visualize.
Than that house. And
sure,
then,
sure.
And then there's a man on that roof.
Now, from that roof to yours, is it jumpable? For someone who is
I don't
is
think
like,
so, but if he got a running start, maybe he could like.
Maybe it would work? Does it seem like he's trying to fix something? Is he just hanging out?
I don't know. I don't know. What is this world?
What a crazy world we live in right now.
I'm trying generally. To socially distance over here. I got guys wandering on the roof next to my house.
Yeah, nowhere is safe. Can you take a picture of this?
I can try to.
He's got his phone out.
He's going to the other side. Please.
All right, well, get it quick. He's
not in.
He's gone? Are you kidding? I don't believe you.
He's walking.
I don't buy it. Yeah, sure
this
he is.
This is what happens to Shatner.
It's a good bit. It's a good bit, Rob, but I don't buy it.
All right,
Pixar
I'm ready if he comes back. I'm going to open the window and yell at him.
Yeah, just say, what are you doing?
I just open the window, let him hear the wand off. That'll chase him away.
You might kill the guy. Don't do that.
All right.
Don't do it.
There we go. All right. Josh.
Yeah.
What a pleasure it's been to wand off again. Yeah. Rob has a website.com /vote Wanda.
Yeah. That's where you go.
You can hear all 51 tracks on the SoundCloud playlist if you're a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. Josh.
Cool.
Until next time. Keep your one socked foot on the ground,
uh-huh.
And keep your hands off the table and your face.
Yeah, and stay off your neighbor's roof.
Yeah,
don't climb there.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know if it's the neighbor themselves.
Oh, it might just be someone.
Could be anybody. I mean, I hope there's nobody on my roof. Oh, let's see. All right, I think
he's back. They're back. Yeah, okay.
I don't know. It's like a Bigfoot sighting. I feel like the blinds are in a certain way. I'm not sure if you can make this out.
You and I are on video together right now. Yeah. Can you just like hold it up to the camera?
I don't think you'll be able to see it. I'll text you.
Oh, you're going to text it to me? Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Let's see. I got to know.
Yeah. I got to know if this is real or if I'm being punked.
Yeah, let's see. Again, it's hard because my blinds aren't open.
Okay. All right. So here I have a text from Rob. Blinds are you know what? It is like a Bigfoot sighting, like black jacket and jeans, right?
Yeah.
Seems like he's got gray hair.
Yeah, maybe a video might.
Kind of looks like Joe Biden.
Oh, is it?
Like plain clothes Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Going door to door, like just making sure he's got this thing locked up. Roof to roof. Joe, go inside. You're in the high risk group.
Okay. All right. Josh. All right, we're headed towards the merge. I wish we would merge already.
Are we headed
towards the merge, but we still need.
I guess theoretically. Yeah. What if we never merge?
All right. So I
really would have thought that this was happening by now.
Yeah, we still have another week to go. We got an exciting episode this week, but this move to go to three tribes, I think, was not well thought out.
It rarely is. I do think.
Yeah. Now I do find never go to three tribes ever again.
The 30s has been an era of three tribes. A lot of swaps to three. Like a split down from two to three.
Yeah.
And what an original idea it was during 31.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like every season. And I don't think it's great for the game. And I think it's often pretty bad for television.
Yeah.
So I really don't know why we insist on doing the three tribes all the
time. There have been times that it's been.
It works out for sure sometimes. Like, and there's this season even, there have been, you know, great moments. But
I feel like that the times that it's worked, I feel like it's worked out better in for new player seasons. Millennials versus Gen X comes to mind. But I feel like especially in returning player seasons, it's
speaking
just
from experience and not even, I don't mean that as a joke, but like literally like where did you have to hide? You know,
right.
It's
there's
like
nothing
like
you can do. There's a lot of times where it's just like, well, we lost the challenge though. I'm getting voted out. I'm not even talking about me, but I'm talking about Parvati specifically this week.
Sure. Exactly. Where she had nothing she could do and she had like,
and
a,
Boston,
you know,
Rob last week, really back to back.
I mean, did he do things that got him in that position?
Sure.
So, you know,
but
like what he could have done was not be like an alienator to the people that he wound up on a tribe.
Whereas if they would have instead gone from, you know, two tribes to three tribes, they would have just, you know, stayed like, okay, here's now it's two, one tribe has eight, one tribe has seven. You know, you would think that maybe he has some more outs there.
Yeah.
As does Parvati this week.
Yeah. I don't know. The Survivor is a remarkable game. Don't need to like shake it up.
We've seen this, especially like in these returning player seasons, we know how it's going to go.
It's a big issue of modern Survivor is there is a sameness. There is like a uniformity to some of this stuff, a little paint by numbers, and like the attempt to make it unpredictable. It's like, oh, okay, so now we're just in the three tribe phase for a while. All right,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fun.
All right,
let's get to the merge. We're ready. These are the icons.
We're ready.
Legends of the game. Throw them into the arena together.
Okay. Josh, so I know you are a busy guy. What else is coming up in your podcast world?
So much on post-show recaps. We have a Westworld recap with Joe Garfine. Better Call Saul forthcoming with myself and Antonio Mazzaro. Jessica Lease and I recorded our Walking Dead podcast. Goodbye, Denai Guerrera. We had a really good recap of the events of this week on Walking Dead and what the future holds for that character, potentially for the Michonne character. We've got an RPG episode of Down the Hatch, bonus episode. It's out right now. It's me, it's Mike Bloom, playing the roles of background survivors of Oceanic 815, embarking on shenanigans and hijinks with the great Rich Filiberto, our Philly, is moderating that podcast. Super, super fun. 2.5 hours of nonsense. Give that a listen. And then Mike and I will be back with our next episode of Down the Hatch, What Kate Did. And we can make yet another Evangeline Lilly joke now if you want, but it will be the fourth time I've made that joke on a podcast. And we haven't even recorded What Kate Did yet, so it's going to be a long week. How about this? Don't do what Kate did. Do what Jin is doing. Stay inside.
That's right.
Stay indoors.
That's right. That's right. Look to us as your examples. We stay inside and have
all
for
the
years.
Time. Yep. Yep. All the time. Yep. All the time. Plus Top Chef podcast, reality TV wrap ups. That's myself. That's Emily Fox. That's Haley Strong. That's Kirk Clark. That's Antonio Mazzaro. That's Mike Bloom. It's a time. It's a really good time. You should be checking that out. Really fun podcasting with a really great squad.
Okay. All right. We still have a lot more to get to this week on Rob's podcast. We'll be back with News AF. Danny Tyson and Rob back together on Tuesday. And then we'll get back to the Survivor Know-It-Alls. And I'm excited that the great Chrissy Hoffbeck will join us on the recap.
Oh, nice.
This week.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's awesome. That'll be fun.
Be fun. Okay. All right. And then we'll have feedback show with Karishma.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool. I gotta play. I gotta unearth something.
Yes.
Karishma recorded a wand off during First One Out when I interviewed her. I gotta find that. I'll send it your way.
Okay. All right.
Play back for her. The chickens are coming home to roost.
For our patrons, you could listen to the wand off SoundCloud playlist over at robiswebsite.com/patron. Of course, our patrons got to watch this podcast be recorded on video. What an adventure it was today.
There were some fits and starts that if you're just listening to the audio version, you missed. I had to leave and come back because I don't know what happened, but something happened. But I'm here, I'm back, and everything's fine.
By the way, check out Josh and I talking with Akiva Winokur, Uncle Kiwi, about the Curb Enthusiasm season finale.
Yep, that's right. We did that. That's great. We had a really good time. I watched the Curb Your Enthusiasm season finale in the way that many people listen to The Wiggle Room, wand off first, and then the rest. I skipped to the end of the Curb finale and then watched the rest, and that was not my choice. It just is how it happened.
That's how it happened. All right. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Stay safe. Bye.
Be safe, everyone. Love you all. Bye.
I never thought there'd come the day that they would ask her back to play. But now, just to avoid cliche, I guess I just have to say that her and I used to kick it. Michelle and I have been known to text at times. We never had a DTR, what I call a hang, she calls a date. We had standing plans, we may have held hands, but now we cohabitate. Yes, her and I used to kick it. Her and I used to chill on Thursday nights.
Me and Michelle kicked it, you know?
I never thought this game would vex, forcing me to live with my ex's smug grin. I wanna yell! You've got a thing with Yule and Nick, hang on each word like a toothpick, and Parv, she thinks it didn't end well. It didn't end well!
One cup in season, we hung out.
We talked on the phone 5 times a day.
There wasn't a frill, just Netflix and chill.
I'm saved on your phone as bae.
Her and I used to kick it. Her and I used to kick it. You can define our courtship anyway. Either we used to kick it or we used to.